put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil.
Welcome to Rock Power. Rock Power is the radio ministry of Rock Power Church. We are located just west of Fluor Drive on the corner of Southwest 30th and Park Avenue. This ministry is dedicated to the proposition that the Bible is God speaking to you, that God never changes, that the Holy Spirit never changes, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that there is only one church and one church age, and that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And as He, Jesus, is, so are we in the world. And the world is in desperate need to see the church in manifestation in the earth. Not in the power of politics or in the power of words, but in the power of His Spirit, moved and motivated and controlled by love. Because the world is in desperate need to see the manifestation of the sons of God. This week we're going to be looking at two topics. Going to begin looking at the topic of unbelief. You know, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But now we want to look at the other side of faith, which is unbelief. And then we're going to look at the fear of the Lord. And so today I want to talk about the fear of the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and Your goodness. We thank You that You gave Jesus to die for our sins, to take our place, so that we could become the body of Christ on the earth, so that we could be seated with Him in heavenly places, so that we could become the sons of God. But Father, we thank You for Your Spirit and Your Word. And Father, we look to Your Word this morning to give light to our paths and understanding to our hearts. So we pray that the Holy Spirit this morning would give us ears to hear, in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Today I want to talk about the fear of the Lord. I want to start here in Hebrews chapter 10. Now we're all pretty familiar with Hebrews chapter 11 about all the great exploits that people in faith did. But you know, it actually carries over into our exhortation to imitate them in chapter 12. But the conversation, the declaration, you know, Paul didn't write this in chapter and verse. He wrote this as a letter. And many, many hundreds of years later, people divided it into chapter and verse so that it would make the study of it easier. And so where they put the chapter headings was, of course, arbitrary, but they did the best they could. And the man who did it did the best he could. But actually, I want to start, I think that if to fully understand Hebrews 11, we should start here in Hebrews 10. And it says in Hebrews 10, verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Now that's a quote from the Old Testament. "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." The soul is not your spirit. Your spirit is saved when you're born again. But you have to do something with your soul. And then he goes on in chapter 11, and he talks about, he gives us all these great examples of faith. He says, the just shall live by faith. And chapter 11, he talks about all of these examples of the just, the justified, the righteous, living by faith. And then we come right over into chapter 12, and it continues. It says, therefore means therefore, based on what he just said, beginning in chapter 10, verse 38, therefore, we also, in other words, we're supposed to live by faith. We also, we're to do the things that they did, we're to live by faith. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, all these witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, the worst thing you can do is quit. I will guarantee you that if you quit, you won't win the race. It's not a race to see who's the fastest, it's a race to the finish.
It's a marathon. Looking unto Jesus. Now, he doesn't just stop there. And he continues on. And he continues on. Clear over to verse 28. And he says, therefore. See, therefore ties it back in with what he's already said. Therefore, because the just shall live by faith, because we have examples of people who did live by faith, therefore we can live by faith. Therefore, chapter 12, verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, hallelujah, the Jews wouldn't receive the kingdom that he gave them the first time, the kingdom of Canaan, but we're receiving a spiritual kingdom. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. See, the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, but we also have to serve God. To serve God acceptably, we have to have reverence and godly fear. That is part and parcel of Hebrews chapter 11 and 12. Now, we've had millions of sermons preached on faith and books written on faith, and thank God for it. But we've fallen a little short in serving God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We've done a little better on grace, but we haven't had near as much teaching on grace as we have faith. But we've had almost no teaching, or not near enough teaching and understanding on serving God with reverence and godly fear. The Bible says that's the way to serve God acceptably. To serve God acceptably, you have to do it not just with faith, but with reverence and godly fear. Amen? So unbelief certainly is the opposite of faith, and the way the church is today is the opposite of reverence and godly fear. There's very little reverence, very little godly fear. How do you know? Well, you just listen to people's words. Amen. So we want to talk today about reverence and godly fear. And again, sometimes we define godly fear as reverence, but here they're somewhat different. Now, you know, last week I began to think about what I was going to speak about last week, preach about, teach about last week. And of course, it was, you know, the first Sunday of the new year, and I thought about, you know, you always think about making changes, you know, New Year's resolutions. And that's good. It's good. The Bible teaches us that we need to examine ourselves. And for some reason or another, the world has become accustomed to doing that on January 1st. It's, I guess, just a place to start. And so I was thinking about that and in a Christian context. And even the government has a website on New Year's resolutions. Yeah, yeah. Of course, you know, none of them have to do with anything spiritual, you understand. And most of the New Year's resolutions that people make are, you know, what they're going to do, changes they're going to make in their life. So I began to think about that. And as I did that, I began to realize the world, in all of their lists of New Year's resolutions, were all works. And as Christians, we sometimes put works first. And kind of like New Year's resolutions, they don't work out. People start with a lot of good intentions with New Year's resolutions, and they start with a lot of good intentions on Christian resolutions, but they seem to make the same ones every year. So somewhere between January 1 and January 1, they fell in a hole, those resolutions. And so in December, they get out, and they're ready to start again on January 1. And we kind of, you know, the dog chasing his tail. And as I thought about it, I realized that maybe we've got the horse pushing the cart instead of pulling the cart. Maybe we're pushing the cart and we need to start pulling the cart. We're trying to serve God acceptably without reverence and godly fear. We're trying to do the works without the reverence and godly fear. And grace. Let us have grace. Let us have grace. Now, of course, some people give us the kindergarten definition of grace, which is God's unmerited favor. If it was God's unmerited favor, he wouldn't say, let us have grace. We wouldn't have a thing in the world to do with God's unmerited favor, if that's what it meant, right? So grace is not God's unmerited favor, because the Bible says God gives more grace to the humble. So one way you'll get more grace is humble. So that's a merit. It's a reward for humility. Let us have grace. So grace is not favor. How much more favor do you need than God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? How shall he not with him freely give us all things? We already have favor, right? We already have favor. What we need is grace. Grace is God's ability. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than you all, but it wasn't I, it was the grace of God in me. God's ability and endowment from God. How do you get that? Well, you come boldly to the throne of grace where you receive help. You ask for it. You seek it. You humble yourself. So we need more grace, and we need to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So I want to talk about reverence. First of all, turn over to the book of Haggai. It is in your book, in your Bible. I promise you, it's there. Haggai. He was an umpire, and he had a Haggai. I've got a scripture here that goes along with what Morris said as you're turning to. But Malachi chapter 3 says this. Malachi chapter 3 verse 16 says, Then they that feared the Lord, we're talking about the fear of the Lord. They that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. The implication is they spoke about God. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before God for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. There's books, not just the Lamb's book of life, but the Bible says the books were open. There's more than one book. There's a book that if your name's in that book, what does that mean? Well, verse 17 says, They shall be mine. Who? Those people whose name are in that book. Says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. So God is well pleased when we talk about him, and the reason they talked about him is because they thought upon his name. See, if you never think upon his name, if you never think about God, you're not going to talk about God. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But Haggai chapter 1 says this. Here's really where I started out last week, what brought me to today. It says in verse 2, Haggai chapter 1 verse 2, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, This people, says, the time has not come, that the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, It's time for yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins. It's talking about the rebuilding of the temple. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. He who earns wages to put in bags with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. I was originally going to talk about building the house of the Lord, you know, saving souls. Consider our ways. And that's good.
If this message has helped you, awakened you, alarmed you, or blessed you, and you want to share that with us, you can email us at rockpchurch@aol.com or write to us at Rock Power Church, 3119 Southwest 30th Street, Des Moines, Iowa, 50321. Or come see us Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m., or Friday evening at 6:30 p.m.